From the Crossbreed Holster Studios, this is Armed American Radio.
Radio. Educating, informing,
and entertaining responsibly armed Americans for 8 years running. Now, from the safest studio in the nation and filling your prescription for freedom in hundreds of cities, here is Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios with you. The fastest hours of radio fly right by. Boy, I got to tell you, it's been a great program. I've had a lot of fun. Let me give you a quick rundown. If you're just joining us, you want to go back and listen to the previous 2 hours. That's for sure. Segment one of hour one, Sarah Larson. Management at Rock River Arms joined me for one segment to come on the program on my invitation to make a statement unchallenged. I wasn't here to throw gotcha questions at them. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, let me just briefly set it up. Rock River Arms and Springfield Armory are under some pressure right now because of some legislation moving through the legislature in the state of Illinois, a very ungun-friendly place, let me put it that way, to say the least, and a very dirty, disgusting, nasty, filthy place to do politics. And I think listeners should keep that in mind. You should keep that in mind when you, if you're plugged into this stuff and you're seeing some of these stories about Rock River Arms and Springfield Armory. They're under significant pressure right now, and accusations are being made that they sold out gun owners in the state of Illinois by secretly supporting or I should say, agreeing not to not support the legislation, to stay out of it, but get some carve-outs over here on the side, or what some of the accusations are. And quite frankly, I've looked at this from all sides. I've read everything that there is about it out there. And I personally believe that right now there's so much crap coming at you from all sides, it's really kind of impossible to cut through this stuff. You got unsubstantiated reports over here. You've got Rock River making statements over here, Springfield doing the same thing. It was time that they be heard, and they have a right to be heard by you in the pro-rights community, and they have a right to be heard unchallenged. That was my position. I'm not sitting here trying to play Mr. Journalist, and I'm going to sit here and play Lester Holt and interrupt them. I want you to hear what they have to say. This is Armed American Radio. They are part of the firearms community, just like I am and just like you are, and they've earned that right. And she was kind enough to come on and take time away from her Mother's Day with her family to join us on the program. And I appreciate it very much. She was wonderful, and I'm looking forward to having her back. If there's anything that we can bring up to speed with you, I want to be able to provide this very powerful forum, this very powerful microphone, so that gun owners across the country can hear from them rather than just seeing all this crap on the Internet. The invitation is out there for Springfield as well to do the same thing. You hear from them, you can make up your own minds. That's what it's all about. But the companies have earned the right. These are venerable companies that have been around for a long time and produce great and very well-known products. And they have a right to be heard. So I'm sure I'll get hate mail. Oh, I can't believe you didn't challenge her. That's why I just issued the statement that I made. If that's you, then get past it. Okay? Grow up. Understand that's why I wanted them on the program, so that you could make up your mind. And I do appreciate it. I've already gotten some emails from people on both sides, and I appreciate it. That's why we did it. After that, really fascinating conversation. Well, David Kodria was here, of course. We talked a little bit about the passing of Bob Owens. Afterwards, Alexander Rubien, Second Amendment, New Jersey Second Amendment Society was here. He's a great guy. I love Alexander. I've worked with him over the years on lots of different stuff and spent some time with him personally. He's a wonderful kid. I say kid. He's younger than me. I guess that makes him a kid. But, boy, I'll tell you, nobody fights harder in New Jersey. He does what has to be done in the state of New Jersey to fight for you. It's a very, very difficult environment, and Alexandria is the guy that you want on the job, man. He has got it going on. Well, he got pulled over on a traffic stop and handled it in a way that my other guest, Rob Pincus, my go-to trainer on the show, who you've heard many, many times on the program over the years, co-author of my book, Lessons from Unarmed America, and we have discussed, the two of us, Rob and I, the very topic on the broadcast. So when it came up and I saw that Rob had responded in a social media post to what had happened to him on that traffic stop, it was a natural fit to bring the two of them together on the program and let them have a civil discourse about it, which they did. I hope you enjoyed the segment. I know you learned something. If you did, if not, make sure to go back and listen to hour one. Hour two, the great A.W.R. Hawkins, also a statement from him on the passing of Bearing Arms editor Bob Owens, who took his own life with a firearm on Monday the 8th. this community, the pro-gun rights community, is reeling over that. Those of us who knew Bob personally and, quite frankly, who just saw him in Atlanta, as I did at dinner and had an opportunity to introduce him to my family and my children, it was devastating for me. It was devastating for them because they, too, had just met him and had just seen him. And it's a terrible loss for a lot of different reasons, including his family. Please keep that in mind. There is a GoFundMe page to help support his family, his 9-year-old daughter, 17-year-old daughter, and his wife. GoFundMe and then Bob Owens. Just Google GoFundMe and Bob Owens. The page will pop up. You can go in there and make a donation. I did, and I hope you did or can, if you haven't already, to help his family. It's a very difficult time, particularly on Mother's Day, no question about it. Bad news all the way around. And then, of course, AWR and myself discussed his writings at Breitbart News. So hope you've enjoyed the broadcast so far. Always fun stuff. Great radio. Really fun to do. And I can't think of anything I'd rather be doing right now than sitting here talking to you. Honest to goodness, that's the way it is. My next guest is also just, it's powerful stuff. You're going to love this. This is the Legal Ease segment. And boy, do I have a lot to cover with my next guest. He is the author of The Law of Self-Defense, Andrew Branca, who is becoming a big fan favorite. I know if you've heard him before, you know why. Andrew, welcome to the show. Happy Mother's Day to you, too. We're all mothers in some sense, right?
Hey, brother. Nice to be here.
Great to have you here. Hey, I got a lot to talk with you about today, but I want to start with this. For the remaining couple minutes, I covered this on my daytime show, but, of course, this is a much, much, much bigger forum. Many, 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 many thousands and thousands of people larger than the daytime programs reach. I want to ask you, because you knew Bob Owens and you had written about it, you wrote a piece about it that I spoke to you about by email. When I saw your piece, it touched me as someone who knew Bob myself and who had just seen him and was just as shocked as everybody else is, still am, by his passing. And the anger's kicking in now too, Andrew, simply because I can no longer bring my listeners his work via these airwaves. And I think you know what I mean by that. He was always a source for me and many others, particularly when you sit in front of this microphone and you're looking for topics to talk about. Bob provided me some of that work and also a guest on The Daily Show that I can no longer bring his voice and his work to listeners. Give us your thoughts on someone who knew Bob Owens, the manager, the editor at BearingArms.com, who we just lost.
Well, I don't know how to describe Bob except to say he was just a genuinely nice guy and a Second Amendment absolutist. He was a champion in my eyes. And he's not the first person in my life who's ended things in this way. And you always feel the same way. You feel this terrible sadness. And at least initially, you also feel terribly angry that this person ripped themselves out of your life, this wonderful, marvelous person. But of course, we don't have to live with whatever demons Bob was living with. He had to live with them, and I guess in the end they overcame him, and that's very sad. But we can, I guess, never really understand the kind of pain he was in that drove himself to that kind of decision.
No, we can't, and we shouldn't try. Because we can't. I think that made sense. It's something I've talked about all week with each of my guests. Each of my guests knew Bob. And many of you listening knew Bob as well because you read his work or you heard him quoted in a piece somewhere else or Town Hall or maybe Katie Pavlich or The Washington or whoever, whatever national outlet may have picked up what he did or what he said. Or maybe you heard him on Cam and Company or another radio broadcast. He had a huge impact, so sorely missed, no doubt about it, sorely missed. Andrew, I'm going to set this up with you. My first segment, second or third and fourth segment in hour one was a good one, and it just screamed, you talk to Andrew about this. Ask Andrew about this. I have to go here with you. Because it's one of these questions that I get a lot. You know, you get a handful of questions a lot. Where's my permit good? Or, you know, certain things. Or what do I do when I get pulled over? And that's what this was. When we come back, I want to give you a breakdown. Sean, how much time do we have? Probably not much, about 20, 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Okay, perfect timing. When we come back, Andrew, I want to give you the breakdown to what happened to Alexander from New Jersey. That's important. You'll see why in a second. as he was traveling to Florida through South Carolina when he got pulled over by a South Carolina state trooper. What unfolded and the way he described it prompted a response from Rob Pincus that said, exactly why I preach not doing what you did. And that, of course, produced a long string of comments, some hateful to Rob, some love Rob. When we come back, I'll describe all of that for you and get your opinion as a self-defense attorney from both sides. Keep in mind, he's from New Jersey. He was in South Carolina, and he wasn't violating any laws. But that's important. That New Jersey part is important. And we'll explain that when we come back. The Law of Self-Defense author, Andrew Branca, right after this. Buckle in. This is going to be a great hour.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeThereProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The Six Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeThereProtector.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
Folks, by now you know I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. And you also know they love to give away guns to responsibly armed Americans just like you. Now, this is why last month the USCCA bought 10 of my listeners a brand new Kimber. Now, this month, they want you to pick any gun you want. So they're giving you 10 chances to win $1,500 to buy the gun of your dreams. Which gun is at the top of your bucket list? A brand new AR-15? A custom 1911? Think hard, because any gun you've been dreaming about could be yours. Thanks to my friends over at the USCCA. Just visit defendthem.com to enter for free today. And there's absolutely no restrictions. You can pick up any gun, any brand, and any caliber you want. Your entry to win $1,500 for a brand new gun is quick, simple, and free. Don't miss out on your best chance to take home the gun of your dreams. Just go to defendthem.com right now to get your name on the entry list. That's defendthem.com.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions, because believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeThereProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the six things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeThereProtector.com. That's BeThereProtector.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. You're listening to Armed American Radio's Monster Broadcast. Now back to Mark Walters.
All right. This promises to be a very provocative next 45 minutes of radio. I'm talking with self-defense attorney and author of the fabulous book, The Law of Self-Defense. Pick this up. Amazon, USCCA, wherever you can get it. Law of Self-Defense by Andrew Branca, B-R-A-N-C-A. It is fascinating. I've poured through it a number of times, and it has been the topic of discussion on this program in the past. We're going to kind of go away from the book today, but talk about some of the things that really are offshoots of what goes on in the book, self-defense law, but not just self-defense law, other areas of the law too. Traffic stops, for example, not necessarily you being involved in a shooting. Andrew, let me set up what happened here. Alexander Rubien was driving through South Carolina, had a firearm in the car, had a reciprocal permit, wasn't sure of the law, so he disarmed. I guess he put the gun in the trunk. He got a speeding ticket in South Carolina, and he admitted on the program, I'm not giving any information that he didn't already say, I'm not trying to embarrass him, but he said he had his cruise control set at 85, the speed limit was 70 as he was buzzing through South Carolina. He got pulled over, and the cop had every right to pull him over at 85 in a 70-mile-an-hour zone, at 15 miles an hour over the limit. Simple as that. Would you agree with that?
Every speeding ticket I've ever gotten has been well-deserved.
Now, you and me both. I said the same thing to him on that previous hour as well. Well, when the officer walked up to the vehicle and Alexander, he was asked a question. He was asked if he had any weapons in the vehicle, and he said he chose not to answer the question, at which point he was asked to exit the vehicle. The cop said he was, because of his refusal to answer any questions, he was acting suspicious. He was cuffed for his own protection, that whole deal and routine. And Alexander, in a subsequent conversation on the side of the highway with the police officer, began to tell him, look, I'm from New Jersey, okay? It's not in my best interest to tell you anything in New Jersey. That's why I do what I do, because I'm not violating any laws. In my state, if I tell you certain things, I go to prison. Well, the cop, after listening to this unbelievable tale of what happened to him in New Jersey for about 10 minutes, they had a good conversation. The cop turned out to be a really good guy. Couldn't believe all that stuff went on, uncuffed him and sent him on his way, and he didn't get a ticket, which he was lucky, quite frankly, because he could have been sent on his way with a $185 ticket. Rob jumped in that conversation. He said, see, this is exactly why I don't recommend not answering questions when you're not violating the law. Answer the man's questions and be on his way. But at the same time, I understand where Alexander's coming from, because he lives in the tyrannical state of New Jersey, where answering lawful questions can get you arrested and thrown in the slammer for not violating the law. What is your recommendation when you're lawfully carrying a firearm and you're speeding? What do you do on a traffic stop? How do we handle that from your perspective?
Well, of course, the first condition is you have to actually know what the law is. And most people traveling outside their home state don't, in fact, know what the law is. They don't know what the rules of possession on a firearms are. They don't know if that particular state requires them to tell the officer preemptively that they have a gun in the car, or even whether or not it requires them to honestly answer an officer's inquiry about whether they have a gun in the car. And generally speaking, you're allowed to lie to the police. There are exceptions, and never do this with federal officers, by the way, because that's always a felony. But the question is, what does the law require you to do? And that's very state-specific. And unless you know what the particular laws are in the particular state you're in, you're at a loss. So the first thing I would encourage people to do is know what the law actually is. I think that goes right to Rob's point, which is, well, if you know you're within the law, then you know how to act. But of course, the precondition to that is you have to know what the law is in the first place.
All right, so let's say he knows what the law is. He's not violating any law other than speeding. Would you recommend, because look, let's face facts, a lot of cops, it's a different world today. It is. There's no such thing as a routine traffic stop, period. That there's no such thing. That cop wants to go home. Traffic stops and domestic disputes are two of the most dangerous things law enforcement does, particularly in today's day and age. Now, I'm going to make an assumption here that every cop, particularly those on the interstates that are patrolling our interstates, assume that every vehicle has a firearm in it. Is that a safe assessment?
That would be the prudent thing for any law enforcement officer to do. I can tell you that there are some states that require that if you have an interaction with a law enforcement officer and you're carrying concealed, you preemptively inform that officer that you're doing that. If that's the case in that state, then that's what you have to do. You have to follow the law. I can tell you that I've never been pulled over in one of those states. I have been pulled over for speeding in states that don't require that, but I've been carrying concealed. And I do not, when not required, preemptively tell the officer that I'm carrying a firearm, unless the officer were to ask me to get out of the car. If he asks me to get out of the car, I'm going to tell him beforehand with my hands on the steering wheel that I'm lawfully armed, my firearm's on my right hip or wherever I happen to be carrying that time, because I don't want to surprise him with the gun as I'm getting out of the car.
And that is exactly the mindset I had on virtually every stop that I've been stopped about three or four times over the years, every one of those times carrying a firearm. And on two of those occasions, I notified the law enforcement officer I was carrying a firearm because I had to reach across the vehicle, for example, to get the paperwork. I didn't want an officer to see my gun should it inadvertently become exposed, one of those deals. And that's just good, flat-out advice from previous conversations from other cops. If you don't tell him you've got a gun, even though you're legally carrying, he doesn't know that. If he sees a gun on you, you're going to turn back around and have one in your ear. It's that simple.
Indeed.
So it's just good, prudent Absolutely. Advice. It's just agreed, okay? It's just good, prudent advice. And I think that's what Rob's advice was. Look, don't be that guy that makes the cop think you might be guilty because the cop doesn't know you. Don't be that guy that makes the cop think you might be guilty, number one. Or, and let's face it, they're out there today, and the cops have to deal with them. The sovereign citizen movement and everything else where, you know, they don't abide by your laws. Now, I'm going to go to a book here. I think I've got just about a minute. Tactics for Criminal Patrol, Vehicle Stops, Drug Discovery, and Officer Survival by Charles Remsburg. This book goes back to, I think, the fourth printing in the year 1999. It's a little bit dated, but there is a segment or section in here. Take a listen to what this book says. Stretching between your avid state of mind, suspicion, and your coveted state of action, searching, is the treacherous ground of the Fourth Amendment, with its formidable protection of personal privacy and restrictions against unreasonable search and seizure. Unless certain special circumstances exist, that amendment obligates you to get a warrant to search a vehicle you've stopped, a demand for which you may have neither the time nor the probable cause. By giving you permission to search, the suspect eliminates the warrant requirement. In effect, he opens a passageway for you through the Fourth Amendment's impediments by voluntarily agreeing to surrender his right to be secure in the privacy of his vehicle. Andrew, the rest of this chapter goes on to teach the police officer how to screw you into giving him everything he wants through deception. Now, when we come back from a break, I'll read you just a little bit of that, but I think it's important because that's what Alexander was thinking in his mind when he was stopped. I'll be right back with the Law of Self-Defense author, Andrew Branca, right after this. Fascinating stuff. Don't go away. You'll dig this, I promise.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org.
All right, continuing with Andrew Branke here, talking about a book, Tactics of Criminal Patrol, and I want to read a couple small passages here and then get Andrew's, get his take on this from our side, because this is what the book teaches the officers to do when they want to search you. Yet they come up against the, what was it, the formidable impediments of the Fourth Amendment, and it's treacherous ground. I'm not sure I like that wording, Andrew. Do you?
No, it's it's obviously, as they say, it's treacherous ground. It's treacherous ground for us.
They're claiming it's treacherous ground for the officer.
Only if you give them something that could be made to look like a reasonable excuse. My advice to people is always to be polite, comply with lawful orders that you're required to comply with, and decline lawful orders that you're permitted to decline. Of course, this requires that you know what the difference is between
right.
those two things. So people need to inform themselves. But certainly, if I were pulled over by a police officer and he asked to search my vehicle, I would say no 100% of the time, very politely, but 100% of the time, even though I know there's nothing in my vehicle that I need to be concerned about.
Take a listen to this. Gaining his cooperation. This is teaching the officer how to gain your cooperation to be searched. Gaining his cooperation requires that you extend the play dumb guise that you've already used to elicit deception cues and provoke stress leaks. As you bring your concealed interrogation to a close and wind up the exploratory stage of your contact. Now, keep in mind, this is on a vehicle stop for speeding. Okay? As you bring your concealed interrogation to a close and wind up the exploratory stage of your contact, you need to decide finally whether you want to search the suspect's vehicle. If you do, you now need to position him emotionally to grant you his permission. With the right timing, the right atmosphere, the right word pictures, the right respect for his legal rights and your own, you must push him to the edge of a psychological cliff where he freely puts his fate in your hands. You want him to feel compelled to give you what you ask without feeling coerced to do so. And you need to know what to do next if that doesn't work. It goes on to talk about what makes the search legal and valid. And I got to tell you, reading this is disturbing because it continues. In other words, you must your request to search must be posed when the suspect is in what could flippantly be called a screw you period. Legally, this period begins when you have concluded the reason for the stop, issued him a ticket or warning, for example, and have returned his license, registration, insurance card, and any other documents. What this is talking about, Andrew, and I'll put this away now, is getting consent to search a vehicle that you don't have probable cause to search. And that ought to concern everybody.
That is why they need your consent. If they had probable cause, they wouldn't require your consent. When I was in law school, we used to read all these cases about drug dealers who had duffel bags full of 100 kilos of cocaine, and the cops would walk up and say, "Do you mind if I search your bag?" And the case law would say that the defendant said, "No, go ahead, officer, that's totally fine," when he knew it was full of cocaine. And I would think to myself, oh, my God, that's impossible. No one would ever say yes under those circumstances. But you know what? It turns out, as I actually got into the practice of law, that they do say yes. And one of the reasons is that officers are trained in techniques to induce people to say yes. Nevertheless, saying yes is on you. It is your choice. You don't have to say yes.
Something more than that. Well, that's a topic we could cover. Okay, what does this have to do with? Because it has everything to do with guns, because we were talking about Alexander Ruby and Second Amendment Society being pulled over, and not being from New Jersey, having a fear that maybe you don't in a gun-friendly area. I don't have the fear he has up there. I'm not violating any law. I was stopped here in Georgia, lawfully carrying a firearm on my right hip. I never told the officer I was carrying the firearm. I had no reason to. I wasn't making any movements that would have made or exposed the firearm. I had my wife and my children with me. Now, I'll be honest with you, this particular cop was a jerk. He really was. And he wrote me a ticket simply because I had a radar detector, which was perfectly legal, that he didn't like. Now, I'll be honest with you, I beat him in court because I did go to court. And I did go to court because I didn't like the attitude. That's besides the point. The fact of the matter is, I beat him in court. Well, I guess I like that. I did beat that in court, but that's okay. When we're talking about searching the vehicles like Andrew, like we're discussing right here, a lot of times people will say yes to things believing that, oh, if I just play along, he's not really going to do it. Maybe if I say yes, he's going to say, oh, well, I'm just going to move on. He's given me permission. He must not have anything in there. Wouldn't that be a psychological reason there?
People do all kinds of things for psychological reasons. They buy cars they can't afford to buy. They buy stereo systems they can't afford to buy because a smooth-talking salesman talked them into it. That's what the officer's being right there. He's being a smooth-talking salesman, talking you into waiving your Fourth Amendment rights against search. And once you waive them, he needs nothing other than your permission to search that vehicle, and then right, you are done with whatever he finds.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're in New Jersey, what he may find may be legal and still have you in a pickle, as Andrew has worked with many people who have found themselves in that position. So I don't begrudge what he did. I wouldn't recommend doing it personally. But
Mark,
then again, I don't find myself on
the
Jersey Turnpike.
People need to be very careful. In Massachusetts, even having a piece of brass, pistol
right,
brass, requires a firearms permit or it's a crime. So what is natural for most of the country can be a serious criminal offense in some of these blue states.
Which is exactly why Andrew did what he did by, I hate to say seemingly not cooperative. He was cooperative. He wasn't not cooperative by exercising his constitutional rights, was he? Is exercising your right, your constitutional rights, being uncooperative, Andrew?
Absolutely not, depending on how you do it. If you're going to start screaming sovereign citizen and my rights, that's going to be uncooperative.
Is it unusual for a cop who doesn't know you? And again, we're talking about being stopped and having a firearm in your vehicle and so forth and so on. What is that? What goes through the police officer's mind when the gentleman says, do you have any weapons in the vehicle? Well, first of all, my response to that, and I've actually said it, was, of course I have a weapon in the vehicle. I wouldn't leave home without my weapon. I have a firearm. I have a concealed carry permit, but I don't need one to have one in the vehicle. But yes, of course I have a weapon in the vehicle. Don't you? You know, like, make it sound. No one's ever searched my vehicle because I had a firearm.
Well,
I don't know.
All,
I don't live in New Jersey, so I don't have to. I guess I don't feel that way.
First of all, I am the weapon. So if I'm in the vehicle, there's a weapon in the vehicle. It's me. Second of all, if I know I'm in a jurisdiction where I'm permitted to have that weapon in the vehicle, I have no trouble saying yes.
There you go.
If I'm in a jurisdiction where I don't know whether that's lawful, well, then I kind of screwed myself, didn't I? Because I didn't inform myself before I went into that jurisdiction and put myself at legal jeopardy.
Ignorance can get you in trouble unintentionally. So what you're hearing here is fine-tune your ignorance. Understand where you are, and there are sources for you to do that. You can go to the U.S. Concealed Carry app. I know the USCCA Concealed Carry app gives you all the information you need to know about everything that we're discussing here. So you don't. But, you know, isn't this the best advice of all? Don't set your cruise control at 85, 15 miles an hour over the speed limit. Wouldn't that be safe advice too?
Well, 15 miles an hour over is a bit much. I have to say, I lived for 2 years in Europe, and there the speed limit is the speed limit. If you're 1 mile per hour over or 1 kilometer per hour over, they give you a ticket. When I told them that in America the speed limit is whatever the sign says plus 5 or 10 miles per hour, they were utterly astonished. That simply doesn't exist there.
But doesn't exist.
15 miles per hour over the limit
is a little bit more. Hey, Andrew, when we come back, I want to ask you about the Indiana Supreme Court case right after this.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to
to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. USCCAonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting USCCAonair.com. Don't miss out.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeThereProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The Six Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeThereProtector.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
This is Armed American Radio. Now, back to the man defending your Second Amendment rights,
Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios with you, getting ready to wrap up, unbelievable, this hour of radio. The USCCAonair.com page, please head over there. The three levels of self-defense, shield, insurance are there for you. I have 1.125 million. Andrew works very closely with USCCA and can tell you about the products as well. Law of self-defense. But I ask you again, peace of mind. What is your peace of mind worth? When you walk outside your home with a firearm, and you've heard Andrew on the program before, and we're going to talk with him briefly about this before the program ends now. Two other topics we're going to roll through quickly with him. And you have insurance available to you. My question to you would be, why would you not have it? What is peace of mind worth? I mean, the cost is as low as $13 a month, mid-20s a month, up to $30 a month. For $1.125 million in coverage, from $300,000 to $575,000 to $1.125 million. Peace of mind, what is it worth to you? I wouldn't walk out of my house with a firearm without it anymore because I've had it for too long. I have insurance on my house, my vehicles, and everything else. Fire, maybe you have flood insurance, you have life insurance, you have health insurance. Why on God's earth would you not have self-defense shield protection? So consider it, please. What is your peace of mind worth? Everything's there for you at usccaonair.com. If you activate one of those, you get a gift package now, I think a free package worth over 246 bones, including range bag, DVD sets, the whole nine yards. Oh, you can see it. It's all right there. usccaonair.com. Andrew Branca, welcome back to the show. There's a method to my madness about covering the Fourth Amendment in such a way that we did, and not just in the way, but how we covered it, because I want people to understand the Fourth Amendment and the protections that it provides, because there's a huge case that just popped out of on May 9th out of Indiana, the Pinner case, regarding a case where an individual was detained in question, then arrested for possessing a gun. The Indiana Supreme Court ruled that Fourth Amendment protections cover individuals who are exercising Second Amendment rights as well. Are you familiar with the Pinner case?
I'm afraid I'm not, Mark. I'm sorry. I don't claim Fourth Amendment expertise at any high level.
That's okay. That's okay, because we can push this in. It wasn't a Fourth Amendment. It was Fourth Amendment covering the Second Amendment. What the case was, and I'm actually glad you're not, because this gives me the opportunity to ask you a question and get a live response. And what happened was the individual had a gun in a, he was in a taxi cab going to a movie theater with his girlfriend. He exited the cab. The gun fell out. The cab driver saw the gun, called 911, drove away, and said there was a man with a gun in his cab. He left because he was afraid he was going to get robbed. The cop showed up to the movie theater, found the guy matching the description, who was just sitting on a bench with his girlfriend. They approached him. They eventually detained him. They eventually arrested him because he said he didn't have a gun. When the cop asked him to stand up and raise his arms, he could see the firearm. He was subsequently arrested. Turned out he was a felon in possession of that firearm. It went all the way to the Indiana Supreme Court. The Indiana Supreme Court says, forget the felon in possession of a firearm. He shouldn't have been detained. He wasn't committing a crime. Having a gun on your person isn't enough reason to be arrested when you are not, or when there is no probable cause that you're committing a crime. And what that is now saying is that it's wiping out possible permitting, and it goes right smack, and I think the court unintentionally just opened up the case for constitutional carry, not only in Indiana, but I think that ruling is going to be used across the country. Does any of that make sense? When you talk about having a firearm on you and all this information and getting stopped on traffic stops and so forth, it's not free rein by law enforcement. And now we seem to have a case that says, you know what? I don't need a permit to carry a gun because carrying a gun isn't against the law. Does that make sense?
First of all, look how far that case went. It went to the federal appellate courts. I can tell you the cases I'm involved in, and I'm not even the lead counsel in those. There's always another attorney who's lead counsel. The minimal retainer you can expect to pay just to get a lawyer engaged in your case is $25,000 to $30,000. That's a pretty nice car. So this went all the way to the federal appellate courts. This person spent a lot of money for a problem he didn't need to have. First of all, he shouldn't have dropped his gun. But had he dropped his gun, he could have just said, oops, made a mistake, and gone home rather than go to the theater where he got dropped off in. In which case, no one would have known it was even him or
right.
It even happened.
So your advice is avoid any type of mistake whatsoever, right?
Of course. Of course. Don't let these things happen. I've carried a gun. I'm 52 years old. I've carried a gun every day of my adult life. I've never dropped it in public. Somehow I managed to do it. I think that's a reasonable expectation of everyone who responsibly concealed carries.
And if we don't responsibly carry the firearm at some point in time, we can expect somebody or somebody to say something or something to happen if we're careless and irresponsible, correct? And the whole point where we're going to this is we don't want to have to meet you, Andrew, quite frankly. And don't take any personal offense to that.
I don't take personal offense. I am extremely expensive. You do not want to have to pay me. I teach 40 to 50 classes a year instructing people on how not to need me in a legal form. I don't want you to have to pay my retainer. But if you have to pay my retainer, it's going to be quite costly.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting part is how many people, I'll just throw a number, obviously, people need your services. So here we go right back into this catch-22. A lot of people aren't paying attention to this stuff because they do need your services, which is why you're in business.
One thing I feel obliged to mention, because this is a show sponsored by USCCA, I don't work for USCCA. I'm not a paid spokesman for USCCA. I do collaborate with them on their legal advisory board. I have worked on behalf of USCCA members who've been brought up on criminal charges. And I can tell you, as expensive as I am, when one of the USCCA members is brought up on charges and they choose to retain my services, USCCA sends me a check overnight, immediately. I am paid for. That member gets my services.
I'm going to leave it at that for now because I can't wait to have you back. I appreciate you coming on and talking with us about this stuff. It's an awful lot of fun. All of these things tie together. And I think the best advice of all is what? How I want you to say it. I'm gonna kind of I'm not trying to lead you down the road, but the best advice of all is to not put yourself in this position to begin with at all. And you can read about it in your book. Tell everybody where they can go to get the book, Law of Self-Defense.
Lawofselfdefense.com. It's got our book. It's got our classes. But the best advice I can give everybody is not just buy my book. Forget that. Know the rules, be respectful when you're dealing with law enforcement, and that will get you out of 99% of the difficulties you would otherwise have to deal with.
Yeah, that being respectful, that's what brought this whole conversation up from the first hour to this hour, and I thank you engaging me in that. It's just flat-out great advice. When you're dealing with law enforcement, be respectful. What does that mean? You'll know when you're in the situation. You're going to have to gauge it in real time as it's going. You're going to have a human interaction, you as a human with another human being, and you both have your own goals. You both want to go home safely without any trouble. Be respectful and mindful of that. Andrew Branca, thank you. Law of Self-Defense. Can't wait to have you back on. As usual, fan favorite. I'm sure I'll get emails. In the meantime, remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Never find yourself in a gun-free zone. You don't ever want to do that. And remember, Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Tomorrow, we're going to get up and do it all over again because we can. I'll see you on the radio.
Just build your prescription for freedom
on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.